Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. These words from our Holy Gospel from Luke chapter 16. Jesus said, "There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gates was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores." Here ends our text, we pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, on this morning, you have laid it out for us in simple words and simple ideas. Lord God, this lesson is of importance, but it is also heavy in our hearts. So we ask you to be with us, Lord, as Lord God, we seek to know what it is that you would have for us. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. If you would, get out the back of your worship bulletin and find a writing utensil if you have one. I'm going to ask you to do some drawing. I highlighted mine. I worked ahead. Basically, what I'm going to do is I'm dividing the gospel reading into three different parts. And I want to go bit by bit into each one and just kind of see where the gospel reading takes us. So if you have a writing utensil, on the back of your worship bulletin, I would like you to go to verse 22, and right where it says Abraham sighed, right at the end of that sentence, I'd like you to draw a line there, and then go up just a little bit, and then go all the way over. So you will have drawn a box, if you complete that, from verses 19 to 22a. And then I would like you to go down all the way to verse 27. And it starts with the word "and." And so make a box from verse 27 all the way down. And the reason for this is that there's three different sections we need to go over. And each section has something we need to break down just a little bit. And in the first section, there was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. There is some great discussion among theologians as to whether or not this is a true parable or not. Well, what's the difference? The difference is Jesus talking in words that he's just painting a picture, or is he really talking about a true situation? And so what would be the difference? Number one, Jesus doesn't really, in his parables, doesn't really use names. So why would he use the name Lazarus? Why would he later use the name Abraham? The idea there is that he's trying to get a point across in which he's talking about a true situation. So the idea here is Jesus is talking about a true situation in verse 22, part B. The rich man also died and was buried, and in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham carried off. All right. There is a raging debate in our culture as to what happens. Is there an afterlife? What happens when you die? And so Jesus points out there's only two options. Only two options there. There's a heaven and there's a hell. And the interesting thing is, if you notice all the way from 22b all the way to 26, Jesus talks about this place in which people are in torment all of this time. And notice when he talks about heaven, he's very brief. He's very brief. So the idea is, how is that weighted, that if Jesus wants to talk about heaven and the glorious things that are there, why is he so brief? It's because he might actually be using an idea here, because there is a difference. He was talking to the Pharisees, and the Pharisees loved money more than anything else. And a few verses before, he was talking about the idea that you don't really love God. And because you really don't love God, heaven is not waiting for you. And so he gave the Pharisees a warning. But the idea here is this. Jesus is not giving them a warning that's really heavy in our minds. See, the more and more I looked at the verse, and I looked at this passage, I see Jesus not just saying, well, guess what's going to happen to you? I see a God who came to earth, who put up with stubborn people, not Germans, but stubborn, okay? He put up with some stubborn people who wouldn't listen to him. And so he's still walking with them, even as he knows that they could care less about what he has to say. And here is the mind of God. His mind, God, is still working in us and with us. Anyone in here stubborn? One person. Should I ask your spouse? How many people in here are stubborn? How many people are lying right now? We have a God that even though we are stubborn 24 hours a day, just like the Pharisees, he calls out to us with his love. Because I think this warning here is Jesus saying, I don't want you in this place that is prepared for you. I want you to hear the words that I would speak to you about love, about self-sacrifice, about giving of oneself. I want you to hear the riches of heaven and get it in your mind. But see, it's interesting that this kind of thing has gone on for thousands of years. And so, do you ever wonder what would happen if someone would ask people on the street what they thought in this topic?
Do you believe in heaven?
I do not. My dad was a pastor and missionary in Panama. I was here for 14 years, I'd say. I moved here 3 years ago. I was a believer until probably about 6 months ago. I started learning more about science, and I kind of lost faith. I understand why some people believe, but I don't find enough faith to be valid to believe in something, which is the only reason I'm an atheist. That's why I understand why most people aren't atheists. My family, we're all Christian. Like I said, I in Panama, we were fundamental Baptists. I didn't like that. When I came here, I was just regular Baptist. Went to a Temple Baptist Church in Panama. Ever since I was 12, my dad taught me to go door-to-door knocking, and it was that kind of thing. It was crazy. I liked it, but, you know, I miss it, but I'm an atheist now, and I go to church once in a while just to see my friends, and I still... You know.
Would you say, it sounds like you would say the motivating factor for you being an atheist was that you started to do more research or you started reading more scientific literature?
Yeah. I mean, I started studying into it. And I mean, I don't like to say I learned stuff because that kind of makes it sound like, oh, I learned the truth, so
sure.
You're wrong and I'm right. That's not really that.
So what is it that's led you to think that there's probably not a heaven?
Science.
Okay, can you expound on that just a little bit?
Oh, theory of evolution and just the basic that there's no proof and
Well, a more general question then. Do you believe in a God at all?
No.
Do you personally believe in heaven?
No. Yes. Yes.
How does someone get to heaven?
They just do good karma, bring good things, and that's it.
Okay. What about you? How does someone get to heaven?
It's through Jesus Christ. John 3:16 says that, you know, Jesus is the only way. Whoever calls on his name can be entered into the King of Heaven.
And you said no. Do you believe in God at all?
No.
Okay. And what has led to that belief, you think? Or non-belief, I should have said.
A lot of things. It's a lot of factors. A lot of things that happened in my life just made me not... I don't know. It just... didn't really give me a reason to believe in anything, so.
Okay.
So here's what I want to understand here today There are so many things that our kids are listening to, so many different ways in which they're hearing from something that is not who Jesus spoke about. And so the first guy here, he talked about how science disproves God. The woman in the wheelchair, there is no God, there is no need. And interesting enough, three different ladies here in which they ask the same question. Number one, there is no heaven, there is no God. Number two, faith in Jesus Christ. Number three, you get to heaven by doing good works. Interesting enough, the Pharisees were like the girl who said that you get to heaven by your good works. The only problem is we have no good works. There is no bar in Scripture telling us how many good works we must do. There is a bar, and it is Jesus Christ. And we have fallen short. That is why faith in Jesus Christ, that second girl, that's the mindset that if we don't have Jesus Christ taking away our sins, we are guilty before God. We only deserve God's wrath and punishment. But what she came about to say is John 3:16, God so loved the world that he took our place. But herein lies this idea. I think it's interesting, in the third box, he says, I beg you, Father, to send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment. But Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. He said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. Profound words. Isn't it just what we heard on the film from the third girl? That there is no heaven. That what they had experienced would not allow them to come to faith. You see, Moses and the prophets, the Old Testament, pointed to Jesus. And Jesus was standing before the Pharisees. And Jesus was carrying on this conversation in this story in which he was speaking from the place of Abraham. And they were speaking from the place of the rich man. And he says, I'm standing right here before you. You won't listen to me. And neither will you listen to me once I rise from the grave. But do you see Jesus? He never leaves these young man's side, the Pharisees. These ones who don't get it yet. The old men who are too stubborn to say, you know what? I've already had life experiences. Even though Jesus knows the heart and mind of everyone in that crowd, he still goes after them with a heart that they may be the lost sheep that is brought back into the fold. Jesus never gives up on them. From the cross, he asks for their forgiveness. Jesus never wanes on you and me. That even though we're here today listening to God's word of his forgiveness, 2 seconds later after this door, we will turn our backs on each other, our parents, our kids, and Satan will be in our lives once again. So when that happens, I want to remind you of this. God goes after each one of us with a love that is so great that he will continue to be with us and continue to go with us. And so in that video, in that clip, where the girl doesn't believe, and she says, I don't believe because too many things have happened in my life. God is asking you to be the instruments of talking to her about the one who was raised from the dead. You guys get to be an ambassadors of Christ to share with them that the God who was still dying for them on the cross there in that image is the one that still is chasing after them, ready ready to put his hands out to catch them when they fall. May God go with you today, because God has given you the power to speak about what he has done to others. May you go forward in this, we pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, Lord God, we live in the midst of a culture that, Lord God, doesn't want to know you. Lord God, be with us, Lord. Lord God, it's difficult sometimes to share our faith, especially with those that we are related to. Be with us as we go out from here, because we recognize that, Lord God, we still do sin, but we are still marked by your cross. In your son's name we pray. Amen. We rise for prayer.